God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Wayne, would you like to do the introductions? That's what it says.
Hi, everyone. Good afternoon. Can you hear me? Hi, my name is Wayne, Composer Board Reader. Everyone, been in program roughly 10 years, 11 months. Next month will be my 11th year. And it all started from just a one-night endeavor. Get the food plan, get out the door, and go back to eating, I guess. Anyway, it's 11 years later, and I'm here in front of you today saying I'm so happy to be a Composer Board Eater with a program. And I was roaming through the hall today, and someone says, 11 years, you're on the panel, get up here. Principles before personalities, and I'm glad to be of service. I believe we have several people tonight speaking on the tools of the program. And I've been in the program 11 years, and I tell you, when I first came in, the last thing I wanted to do at 43 years old and 275 pounds was to commit to tools of a program. I still, to this day, carry the name of the tools with me. Oh, I forget them. Such as food plan, literature and writing, anonymity, telephone calls, meetings, service, and sponsorship. Today we're going to have several people that are in the program for some time. They'd like to come up tonight and tell you about the program, about the tools, about how they have used these tools in their lives. For me, from my personal experience, if I had not had a sponsor to lead me through this program and tools to keep me committed to the program, there's no way in the world I would have been able to change my eating habits, change my life around, and keep the weight off. So when I say I'm very grateful to see how, I'm not grateful because of the rooms or the people in the rooms, because I know that see how it works for me. It helped me tremendously. Just like everyone else prior to the program, I wasn't desperate enough. I always felt that I could go to a gym for a couple of months, find a couple of books, do some reading, get the weight off, and miraculously would stay off. But over and over again in this life, I found I cannot do that. I have to have a program. I'd like to do right now, I don't know all the speakers that they're in the room, but I would like to have the speakers that will be talking today to stand up, please. And I'm going to pass the mic around and have them introduce themselves one by one.
Anissa, recovered compulsive eater, and I have the honor and privilege of talking about meditation today as a tool of our recovery.
My name's Char, compulsive eater, and I'll be speaking on sponsorship, maybe.
Stephanie, compulsive overeater, good afternoon, everyone, and I'll be talking about telephone calls.
Sonia Sunshine, compulsive overeater, and I'll be speaking on reading and writing.
Thank you. Okay, so I guess we'll be speaking about an hour or so, and probably at the end, if you have any questions or anything that you hear, we're more than happy to take questions. And I don't know about you, but for me, it's still one day at a time. I always thought that after the first 30 days and after I went to the ceremony that, man, that's it. I'm a graduate. I can move on and save the world. And I can remember the first thing my sponsor said, that was about the second day, hey, you're calling in your food, but you're not making any phone calls. You're not going to meetings. I said, Frank, I don't like to get involved. I just want to stay on the side, and I'll follow whatever you say. And that's it. And he's going, look, he's probably a nice guy, but to me, he was the biggest jerk ever. I didn't think it was a program with rules. I thought that each day he was adding a new thing to my life to make it miserable. And the first couple of weeks I was at work, right into my lunch period, thinking that he's going to say, you know what, you got this question wrong. Go back, do it again. Or someone called and said you did an outreach call and you failed, do it again. Everyone else comes to the program to take the weight off, and life is great. For me, I was just so scared that I was going to be outed and put out of a program because I didn't do it correctly. So I'm so glad to have people that are willing to share themselves, to come up, to speak, and give me more knowledge, because I still learn in this program each day how to do it differently, how to do it better. And one thing right now, I always said I didn't want to sponsee because I didn't want to be responsible for someone failing and putting on weight. I was so scared that if something happened, I would be responsible. I remember the first couple of times I got sponsees, and they worked the program so much better than I did, took the weight off, and it's just, for me, it was amazing to see the miracles of the program right in front of me. When someone followed this program, it works convincingly, but I found that I could not, even within my own family, I had members that came into the program, lost the weight, left the program and put it back on again, and nothing I did or said could get them back into the program. So I found in this program, if you're committed and you want to do this program, that has to be the first step. No one else can convince you or make you do this program. It's of your own initiative right there. Anyway, without any further ado, I'll turn you back over to Stuart. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. First off, my name is Stuart. I'm a compulsive eater. And I have, as my wife would say, 4,800... 3 years and 4 months and a day on the program. Too close? I'm sorry. Okay, our first speaker. Is Garcia here? We'll go to chair. The young lady is from Las Vegas. She's been absent. She's been absent of food for 9 years, 1 week, has lost 95 pounds by the grace of God, one day at a time. Thank you.
Here you go, young lady.
Hi, my name is Char, and I'm a compulsive eater. My tool is sponsorship. I am so grateful for this program and for, you know, we've heard all day long how it saved people's lives. Well, it saved my life. It saved my marriage. It saved so many things that are important to me. My relationship with my children, my relationship with my mother has improved. So, you know, I just owe so very, very much of my life to this, to recovery in this program. When I first came into program, you know, like so many, I was just like a deer in headlights. You know, I just was just didn't know what to think of all of this business. You know, it just kept, like Rain said, it just kept coming at you, you know. And I settled in and I did my first 30 days, and then my sponsor says, okay, now you can sponsor. And I said, oh, no, no, no. Not going to sponsor. I can't do that. You know, what do I have that somebody else would want? And that's how I kind of did things. You know, I would just like, you know, in our Saturday morning meeting where I first began in Las Vegas, it's a big meeting. It's really, you know, the biggest one in Vegas. And they have a sponsor rep who gives a little spiel at the end of the meeting, like, you know, I'm so-and-so, I'm the sponsor rep. If you need a sponsor, come see me at the literature table. If you need a new sponsor, you're looking for a sponsor, you know, and then all of the sponsors who can qualify as a sponsor come over here. And, you know, and I, boy, bam, that meeting was out. I was out of there. I was not going to volunteer to sponsor because I just did not have the confidence to think that I had anything that anybody wanted. And this went on, and my sponsor was kind of somebody time in this, I hope. Yeah, we need to be timed, I guess. I have 10 minutes. Okay. 10. Okay. Keep me on track here. My sponsor was on me, you know, you need to stay and go over to the literature table and step up to be a sponsor. And I just kept shooting out the door, you know, I got this to do, I got that to do, you know, I'm not going to do that. And finally, you know, I said, you know, I need to do this program. I was having success the way it was coming off. The things were changing. You know, I was being better at home, and things were going better for me. And I thought, you know, if I don't, my sponsor kept saying, if you don't work the whole program, you need to work all of the tools. And so I finally went over to the literature table, and it took a while before somebody asked me to sponsor them. And they did the deal for about 3 days, and they quit. And, you know, it was all about me. See, I told you I couldn't sponsor. What were you thinking, you know? So my sponsor was all amazing lady. Just, okay, now we need to keep doing this. So get yourself back over to the literature table next Saturday. So finally, I got a sponsor that stuck and a sponsee that stuck. And we did that first step, or that first three-step ceremony. And I'm really an emotional person. If, you know, if something touches me spiritually, I weep, you know. And I hate that part about me, but it's me. So if I burst out in tears, you know, you'll know. It's just me, and I don't know how to fix it. I guess there's no way of fixing it, you know. These tear ducts are connected to my heart some way. But I'm just, you know, I was just so... I knew she'd never want me to sponsor her again, because I just wept all through that ceremony, you know. I wept through my own. And I was just like, you know, the tears were flowing. And then I looked at her, and her tears were going. So, you know, we were both having a very wonderful spiritual experience. And it set the pace for me to know that this part of the program really works. And this is a part that I need to take care of and to nurture and to grow and to learn. You know, I started attending workshops that were provided that taught me how to be a better sponsor. And I asked questions, you know, of my sponsor. You know, when things came up that I didn't know, I didn't have a... And that's the wonderful part of this program, is that you just don't ever do anything alone. You know, there's somebody who's walked that walk before you, and they know the answers. If they don't know the answer, then they're going to find them for you, you know. So you're never alone. You're just never alone in this program. And being a sponsor really tested my God reliance, because, you know, sometimes they would ask me a question that wasn't really... It was a spiritual question, you know. It was something that God needed to answer, and a direction that I needed to give them, or something like that, that needed to come from God. And so, you know, I needed to rely on God. I needed to have the Spirit about me to listen to what God was wanting this person to hear. And the things sometimes that would come out of my mouth were just amazing. You know, I would hang up the phone and go, wow, thank you, God, because I know that didn't come from me. These words came from you. And, you know, and so it just really connects you more with... or me, rather, it connects me more with the God of my understanding, and to learn to listen to his voice and to rely on him to be a good sponsor. Sponsors need to have worked the first 30-day questions. They need to be abstinent, of course, for those first 30 days. And they need to take that first three steps. And I find that when I'm doing that with a newcomer, it just renews in me the strength that I gain from having gone through that process, and to be able to assure them that they can be a good sponsor, that they can, when the time comes, that there's help available for them, and that... they can do the deal. And I, you know, for that I'm just so very, very grateful. I think for me that abstinence is the most important a tool for me, but the most fun is being a sponsor. I have five right now. I've had them forever. I haven't been able to take a newcomer for a long time. I love newcomers, but they won't leave me, and I don't want them to leave me. So I'm just grateful, and God does for us what we can't do for ourselves. And I guess for right now, I'm just right where I am supposed to be in my sponsoring. And thanks.
Thank you very much. Okay, the next speaker has a 95-pound weight loss. She's been in the program 14 years, has 27 straight months of abstinence. She's a full-service sponsor, food, inventory, step and maintenance. She considers herself very compulsive about her life and better and eating, and she appreciates the program for every day for her new life. Ms. Garcia, if I pronounce you wrong, I'm sorry, your name. No problem. Now you do.
Here you go, baby.
Okay. Mi nombre es Graciela y soy comedora compulsiva. Como ya dije en lo que escribí, llegué pesando 195 libras. 195 pounds. Well, let me, please stay here. Let me see if I can do anything. Something I cannot, she's going to help. I come in right here with 195 pounds. In 1 month, in 2 weeks, I lose 35 pounds. Never in my whole life I feeling so wonderful, so healthy, so good like now, in the beginning of my program. In the beginning of my program, my autoestima estaba en el suelo. It's in the floor. But after I worked in my first staff, yo entendí que tuve que derrotarme. And I accepted by myself because my first problem is I cannot accept it by myself because I always think I have to live in for my husband, for my child, for everything around me, but not for me. And when I see this program, and when I come in here, and I work in my first staff, I understand everything is so beautiful for me. I understand I'm like a flower. First you put this, la semilla.
First you put the seed.
And then the semilla start to growing up, and coming little by little, so you put in water and water every day, and then the flower comes. I feel it like that. And then when I come in with my second step, I find it by myself, I have to accept me and I have to talk to everybody how I am. And I find it, I'm a very good person. I find I'm a chismosa.
Gossiper.
Mentirosa.
Liar.
Ladrona,
thief,
and everything bad. And I said, but how I find all these things? How? When I read my 12 steps, when I read this beautiful book, when I write, when I go to my meetings, when I see, I say, Graciela, all these tools, all these things you do? Yes. Yo le robaba la paz a mis hijos.
I stole my family's peace.
Yo le robaba la paz a mi esposo.
I stole my husband's peace.
Le mentía a mi esposo pretendiendo estar enferma.
I lied to my husband just pretending that I was sick when I wasn't.
Porque yo quería su atención. Because I wanted his attention and I wanted my children's attention. Because I think if I lied or si robaba,
because I thought if I was lying or stealing,
they would allow me more. And that's the front. Then I continue to work in my 12 staff, and I come into my 3rd staff, and I find it's something else. Graciela is a person to need to be with somebody else. And I win a lot of people, but I feel it by myself. I feel lonely. I feel not here. I feel... who I am, where I am, what I do. And I continue to find it by myself, how I am. And like I said before, I put in water in the plant. And come in another flower. And that another flower is more beautiful, more big. Like that's a feeling in my program. Right now in my program, it's like como una laguna.
Like a lagoon.
Beautiful.
Yes. Beautiful, stable.
Where you can relax and you where can find it, something good. If you're thirsty about the program, Graciela can tell you. Graciela feels so good. Graciela loves the program. And I can tell you. I don't go liar anymore. I don't go inventing nothing to, if you love me or if you don't love me, because I love by myself. I love me by myself. I respect by myself. Because before, I don't respect him by myself. I think I have to live in for something else or for somebody else. I feel in more más miserable que una mesa.
More miserable as a table.
Nothing. Just nothing. And when my sponsor told me, Graciela, changing your style to talk in front of the group because you are a person. You're not a chair. You're not a table. But like that's a feeling in my house. Like that's a feeling in my work. Everybody has to do whatever they want to do with Graciela. Graciela is nothing important. And like I said, I'm working and working my 12 staff. And then I come in to my 4 staff. And I find something new, something more beautiful. I said, Graciela, you really growing up. Before I see a little Graciela in my mama lace and my daddy's arm, and then I feel in Graciela walk, and then I feel in Graciela run, and then I feel in Graciela a woman. Because in my first life, I don't have those parts, only children. I remember in my house, I'm a beautiful child, a beautiful girl. I run everywhere like a little bird, like a little sheep. And like that's a feeling because I'm free. My mom gave me a lot of love, my daddy, my brothers. But when I growing up, after my 15 years old, somebody abusing me. And not only one person, he sell me with somebody else using me. And I lose everything. I have 14 years in this program, but when I come into this part, I still feeling angry, impotent, frustrated, mucho coraje,
lots of anger.
Yo deseo que esas personas lo pagaran como lo hicieron conmigo.
I wanted those people to pay what I had.
But my daddy, because in my country, I know, he's making pay. It's not good, because now I'm a Christian, and I love my God, but he's doing. My daddy paid. And for the first years, I'm happy about it. Finished? And then I said, no, that's not good. And I talked to my daddy, and I said, Daddy, that's not right. And I talk to everybody about it. And I come into my program, and I repeat that. And now I'm an eagle. I fly everywhere. I go everywhere. Whatever you guys call me to talk about it, I tell them about service. I can give it everything. Everything. I fly so high. And I feel so beautiful. I go high in the mountains. Now I have a boyfriend. I have a husband, I have a friend, and only this program, por medio de mi Dios, me lo dio.
Because of God, I got this.
He gave me every step where I go. Here, Graciela, this for you. Here, Graciela, this for you. Like, he gave it that to me, and he put me away from there. He's given me everything, and he's put me away from them. He's only told me, this is your life. Like that you're supposed to live in from the beginning. When those people cut my life, stop all the beautiful things what I supposed to growing up. But now, I'm happy, very happy. And I like my program. I love it. I love it. I don't care if I have to speak in Chinese. I invent in my Chinese, but I speak how I'm happy. Look at me. I never can believe I can dress up like this. I never can believe I go far like this, because even my husband buy my underwear. Yeah, he's do that. He's do that. Because I'm in a book, a table, whatever they want. But not a person. Now, I'm a person. I'm a girl. I'm a lady. I'm so beautiful. Thank you, God.
I just wanted to add this. I just came from being in a workshop in Spanish, and she's doing it in English. Tell me, if there's a God, there's a God everywhere, and this is what it was supposed to mean to be. Thanks.
And I got to follow her talking? The next speaker I know quite well. August 7th, we'll be married 35 years.
No, we will be.
Okay. Next speaker is Stephanie. She has 3 years and 4 months and a day in the program and 114-pound weight loss. She's a food, inventory, step, and maintenance sponsor. And she's my other half. Thank you.
Hi. I'm going to read the fourth tradition. Telephone calls. We are required to make 4 calls a day, 1 to our sponsor, and 3 to other CHAL members. The phone, is like a lifeline. Boy, is it a lifeline. Ma Bell loves me. So does Pacific Bell. My telephone bill was so high. Okay. The phone is like a lifeline. We need the contact. It's great to talk to everybody. It can be a mini meeting. Okay. Well, like my husband said, I've been on the program 3 years and 4 months and a day. And if anybody never saw my before picture, this is a... it was not him. I was wearing a 3X shirt or a 24. And I was sitting under the table, and you'll see it, but everything else was gaping open. So it didn't fit too well. But my program now is, when I first came into the program, I picked a sponsor, like we all do, and we are required to make 1 call to our sponsor and 3 calls to anybody else. Well, that was a lot easier than me writing, because I hated writing. Okay, calling was terrific. I would call at work. They would ask me, are you still on the telephone? Yes, I'm still on the telephone. So Customs and Border Protection, and this is where all your money goes to during the year that paid for all your telephone calls for me to talk to, by the way. And my husband was reading something. Okay, here it is. I've been on the program. And I have made maybe 4,864 calls today. I didn't count today yet because I haven't finished. But I have all my, this is one of the things that I normally do. I will take a meeting and then I will go, okay, I'll count three of them. And some sponsors might say, you have to talk to somebody. I sponsor a little differently. It's required. It's not mandatory that you have to talk to a person. Because when I have a chance to call, it's normally during the day, and people are at work. So I do spend, you know, I'll say a message, and I'll put my name on the message, and I get a call. I have a very good friend in here who we speak to on a Saturday or a Sunday, and she's coming back from church with her husband or going out for her nails, but we always, always talk to them on a Saturday and Sunday. Like I said, I will start from A and go down to Z, and I will do it, and now we have the phone bridge meetings, and they have all the calls, and it's great. And anybody who needs to give me a call, I will give them the number. So if you have your number, if you have your pens, my number here at home is 714-895-5160. My cell phone is 714-349-0157. And my work number will not work after August 3rd because I am retiring. So it's another form of doing things and going, one door is going to close and one door is opening. And we are, phone calls are great. Phone calls make me very happy. It was a lot easier than writing things down on an email because, first of all, I needed how to do Grammatex, and my spelling is atrocious, but pushing the buttons, it's easy to do. So it's amazing. This program, Stephanie, okay, this program is amazing. We started together 3 years and 4 months, and sometimes I call him and sometimes he calls me. He calls me 4 times a day at work, by the way. So there is his 4 calls. So he's safe. I'm serious. He does. He takes care, by the way, he takes care of our granddaughter, who's 2. And, yes, we needed this program to run after her because we weren't very healthy before. I came into this program all set to just say, if I had another program, if I had another diet pill, if I had another diet, I don't care. And it took me a long time to find God. And I found it here. Or I found him here. He's very spiritual. I talk to him all the time. And I can't use him as a phone call. But he's very good. He does my computer. When something is wrong and I'm ready to throw the computer out the window, he says, Stephanie, you can't do that. Customs and Border Protection will get very annoyed at you. And I say to him, okay, this is calming. This is very calming, and it's very spiritual. Was I spiritual before? I don't know. Was I on the phone a lot? Oh, yeah, he can tell you. Our phone bills were $160 before the program. After the program, we got some special deal with the cell phone and all that, and it works. Let me tell you, for long-distance phone call, I have free telephone service. It's, I think, $78 or whatever. And then if you call at work, that's really free telephone service. God help me. So there goes all your taxes. I'm the one that spent your money. Hello. But this program has saved my life. Telephone calls, writing, sponsorship, and after I retire, my first thing is I am going to learn how to speak Spanish. And there's another one. There's a book that one of the questions in it didn't pertain to the book. And I said, that's another thing that I'm going to do when I retire is make those questions pertain to the book. And most of the books you don't have to buy, but I wish you would. It's on the internet. And or you can call me and I will tell you where to find it. Or I am the Orange County Caroline person also, and I will help you find a meeting, help you find a sponsor, and help you find some more telephone calls. I love telephone calls. And thank you very much.
And by the way, you call up and I answer the phone. That's two outreach calls. Although there are some females who will not talk to me. Where's Stephanie? Okay. Our next speaker is going to talk about meditation as a tool of recovery.
Say that.
Her name is Anissa. She came into the program in October of 1994, has an abstinence of a year and 6 months right now with an 82-pound weight loss. And she sponsors as a food inventory and step, and she's going to talk on meditation.
Hi, everybody. I'm Anissa, recovering compulsive eater. I guess I should stand. I don't know. Stand it. Okay. I just want to just show here. How many people here have meditated before? Oh, good. Okay, so this is not a new topic. Okay, and how many meditate as a part of their regular part of recovery? No shaming here. If you're not, it's cool. Okay, good. Well, I don't have to reinvent the wheel here. But it's funny when Ann asked me to talk about this because it's not listed as our seven tools, but it is our 11th step, you know. And I think for those of you that heard me speak at lunch, you know, I do consider it a vital part of my recovery, even though it scared the crap out of me when the first time. I was at a meditation meeting in Long Beach, and, you know, the first time, I think we were only silent for 5 minutes, and it sounded like World War III going off of my head, you know, I got these voices, and, you know, and now it's an opportunity for me to be centered, you know, before I go out into the day, and I just kind of want to demystify meditation, you know, because some people think, ooh, this is, you know, kind of, oh, you know, and you're chanting and all that stuff, which I like to do a lot of different types of meditation. You know, because of this program, I do have a spiritual path that relies heavily on meditation, and that's as a result of this program. The person that was scared to be silent now, I love it. And I actually, matter of fact, this spring, I went to a meditation retreat where the whole week, two or three days was in the silence, you know, which for someone like me, that's a big deal, you know, and that's only a result of this program. So there are different ways you can meditate. I mean, if you're part of a specific religious tradition and have a specific text, you know, you can simply, basically, you know, find your favorite passage or scripture, you know, read it, and simply, what I say, sit with it. Just let it just, a lot of times, I'll speak for myself, you know, just reading, because these voracious readers, we don't take it in and just actually sit with it. And sometimes you'll have like a revelation about that passage or about that scripture, or it could be like the big book, and just literally sit with it for 5 minutes and just kind of let God or your higher power just speak to you about that passage. You might get a revelation that you may not have had before just by sitting still, being still. A lot of us as addicts, we're very busy people. You know, we're always doing. And that meditation allows us to kind of get still and just kind of see what the content of our mind is like. It can also, I found in meditation, sometimes just sitting with a breath meditation, just not having a purpose with it. And I think I'm going to, because I think I have 10 minutes, I'm going to take us maybe through a real brief 1 or 2 minute one. where you're just basically observing your breath. You're not trying to make anything happen. You're not trying to breathe deeply or anything like that. You're just simply just noticing breath going in your nose, out your mouth, or whatever it's doing, and you're just focusing your attention on a certain thing, like your breath. And the nice thing, the thing that I like to encourage people is to not be scared of what comes up in your mind, because some people want to, you know, oh, I shouldn't think that thought, and let me shoo that thought away. You don't have to do any of that. You could just simply be the observer of your thoughts without judging them, fixing them. You know, a lot of us, we want to fix it. Oh, I shouldn't think like that. I'm gonna, let me do this. Let me do that. You can just simply observe it without judgment. If later you want to write about it or talk to your sponsor about it, that's fine. But don't feel compelled to have to immediately go into action. It's kind of like a practice in self-acceptance. I think somebody was sharing about the tears. You know, just being able to observe some of the things that just naturally happen with us is kind of a tool of self-acceptance. It's just like, okay, that is a part of me. You know, it's not at the end of the world. I'm a work in progress. You know, we always talk about progress, not perfection. You know, I'm always going to have things that I'm going to work on, so to speak. And this kind of mindfulness, we call it mindfulness meditation, you're just kind of just being mindful of just kind of what's going on. And so I guess it would be good, because you guys have heard a lot of people talking at you. I think maybe I'll take you through like just a little simple 2 minute, maybe. Is 2 minutes too long? Okay. So I'll even time it. Okay, so if you could just take a moment to just take a deep cleansing breath. And with that exhale, we're just going to release everything that has come before this now moment. We're just going to be aware of our environment, not letting it distract us. We're just being aware that we are aware. If you find yourself getting irritated by any noise, you can just simply just pay attention to the breath. Notice how the breath just supports everything that you need without consciously doing anything. Recognizing the breath as evidence that our higher power provides everything that we will ever need all the time. We allow the body to be relaxed and to sit comfortably in the chair. Just be still. And as we bring this time of silence to a close, we just take another cleansing breath. Completely release. And bring ourselves back into the room. 2 minutes. It was just during that time of silence, I remember something I wanted to share when I used to do conflict resolution training for teachers. There's a lot of brain research and that breath. When we take the time to take a deep breath, like say if we're having a really stressful day, it literally takes us out of a fight or flight mode when we're in a stressful condition, and it brings us back to center. It's a physiological thing. When we're in a highly stressed situation, we can become oxygen deprived. Our breathing becomes rapid, and for compulsive eaters, we could grab the food. We could grab the food if we stay in that state for so long. So even if you don't have time to meditate, you know, you can just go to, sometimes I just go to the bathroom if I'm at work, and literally just take a few deep breaths, just to allow myself to come back to center, give myself that proper oxygen that I need to tell my brain and my mind that everything is okay. So this is not some mystical thing that we're talking about with meditation. This is really physiological here. This is helping our brain stay at a calm state, so that not only are we effective in our daily activities, but it will also keep us in a place where we don't necessarily have to react to situations. We can respond consciously and in a way that is supportive of our program and not destructive. You know, so I really encourage, if you don't have time to have a actual meditation practice, just make a commitment to, when you're feeling yourself getting antsy or nervous, just, like I call it, give myself a timeout and take a couple of deep breaths. Just know it's not a lightweight thing. You're literally hitting the reset button on your mind and your brain so that you can respond to things that don't, that are not detrimental to your program. And thanks for letting me share.
I also have to tell you that my granddaughter, every day I put on meditation music at a certain time in the afternoon and say, Jaylen, time to take a nap. And you'd be surprised. We'd be driving somewhere and she'll just nod right out for about an hour with meditation music on this, a CD playing. And she goes, I won't sleep while I'm driving. And she'll go right out and go to sleep for an hour and wake up happy as all hell. All right, our next speaker. It's Sonia. I came into the CHOW in the 80s with only 30 pounds to lose and kept coming back regularly even while pregnant and eating compulsively. After having had her fabulous son, who happens to be a sweetheart of a little boy, I know the kid. He's really great. I have pictures in my house on him. And she had over 120 pounds to lose but kept coming to meetings. Her recommitment date of July 7, 2007, her son was 2.5 years old when God blessed her with his amazing gift. She sponsors on food inventory step and has been maintaining a 75-pound weight loss. She currently lives in Los Angeles. When my schedule as an awesome single mom permits, I get some face-to-face meetings. Although some meetings allow children, and it is stressing for me if my 5-year-old disturbs the meeting, so I prefer to mute on the phone. She found the phone bridge about 2 years ago and attends 5 to 7 meetings weekly on the phone bridge. She has been involved in service as a leader, secretary of several different phone bridge meetings. Currently is the intergroup representative for Sunday at 7 a.m. Pacific time on the phone bridge and co-leads a big book and relapse recovery meetings on Tuesdays and Thursdays. She sponsors in all the country and absolutely loves all the colorful personalities, accents, and loving spirit of people on the phone bridge. Giving service helps her keep coming back in a small way to the spiritual group, which has truly saved her life one day at a time. Miss Sonia.
Oh, I brought a picture to pass around when I was a 3X in size 20. So let's give all the speakers a hand. Hasn't this been a fabulous meeting? And our comedian, Stu. Yes, honey, I want to sit right next to you, Stu.
I'm Sonia Sunshine on the Phone Bridge, and I'm a grateful recovering compulsive overeater. Yeah, I came in September 1980, was my first OA meeting, and I've been religiously coming to this this wonderful program. And I want to talk a little bit about my childhood. I'm the youngest of six, and basically children should be seen and not heard. And in my family, anybody you know, my family, I never got a word in. I never talked. And my sister even said once, I didn't even notice her. I just stepped over her while she was eating in the living room. But, you know, that was the thing, is I just didn't matter. I didn't have a voice. I had my second grade teacher write on my report card, Sonia doesn't talk. We need her to talk. So I came into OA meetings. I couldn't stop talking. Oh, my God, I found a place where people wanted to listen to me. I had so much pain. God bless all these people. I just kept talking and talking. And I would come in and just dump. I was such an angry little girl. And I would just come and talk and dump. And this person, I'm planning this one's death, this one's revenge, and this one at work, and this one. I was just an angry, raging little girl. And then I remember at Palms Park over there on National and Overland, they switched it to a writing meeting, and I didn't know. And they were reading out of the big book and then passing out papers and pens, and I had to write. Oh, if you didn't know, my talk is on reading and writing. So being a Venice High graduate, and my nickname was Stonia, and I used to ditch all the time, reading and writing wasn't my main thing. So I was really angry, and I read my writing. This is stupid. Why do I have to write? I can't believe they're making us writing. Where are those meetings? And I got the writing out. And then this beautiful woman came up to me, and I was very unapproachable. She said, why don't you work the steps? And I was like, who's that? You know? And I didn't even know about the big book. I didn't even know about the 12 steps. I didn't even know. Like, that was just for those boring people who had all that pain. And, you know, for many, many years is what I could get out of the program. So I wanted to read something because, you know, I know a lot of people. And several people have come up to me today and said, I can't stand these people. It's the same stuff, the big book, the 12, and just like me. I don't know why God's sending them to me. It's no fun. This isn't fun. Where's the joy? Where's the joy in this convention? And, you know, I just love them and listen to them, and I know that disease of negative thinking. I wake up every day with the disease of negative thinking. And I hate myself. I hate everybody. They're all out to get me. And I act as if. You know, I learned from a sponsor a long time ago, this is a great meeting. This is a great convention. What a wonderful speaker. You act as if until, you know, you feel it. And I just wanted to read out of AA-approved literature, which I never did at any meeting before, but I am, you know, I'm learning. You know, I'm back to school, by the way. I just graduated with my AA degree. Took 25 years to go back, but I tell you, I like getting educated, except statistics, but that's a whole other thing. So anyway, this is out of the Daily Meditation book, Those Who Still Suffer. If we neglect those who are still sick, there is something dangerous in our own lives and our own sanity. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 151. I know the torment of drinking compulsively. To quiet my nerves and my fears, I also know the pain of my white-knuckled sobriety. Today I don't forget the unknown person who suffers quietly, withdrawn and hiding in the desperate relief of drinking or eating. I ask my higher power to give me his guidance and the courage to be willing to be his instrument, to carry within me compassion, unselfish actions. Let the group continue to give me the strength to do with others what I cannot do alone. And, you know, I could not come to conventions for years. I couldn't sit in a whole workshop. And I know there's people in this room that are in pain, at this convention that are in pain, that are eating, that don't have a sponsor, that aren't happy Joyce is free and doesn't want to see another freaking butterfly. Anyway, I'm sorry. But I also, so I'm going to push you guys a little bit. Bring out your pen and paper. We're going to write for 2 minutes because I, and don't feel like you have to. But I'm from Venice. No, I'm just kidding. So for those of you who are listening all over the world, get out your pen and paper. Or I'll come find you, whatever country you're in. And the thing is something that I had a hard time with is, you know, if they talked about God, if they talked about prayer and meditation, does anyone need a pen or paper? Raise your hand. Because everyone will be writing. No, I'm just kidding. I couldn't sit still and meditate. You know how I meditate? I do African-Brazilian dancing to live drums. That's how I meditate. I can't sit still. So how I learned to write and find God in my life was I did this thing where I wrote, Dear God, I hate this woman. Look what she wore. They're all lying. No one's eating salads. I hate coming to these meetings. Sometimes I sit in a meeting. I couldn't hear the message because my head wouldn't stop. So I would write in a meeting, Dear God, and just get all those feelings out. So you can write on that right now. Or you can write on what I just read. But the most important part is the way I meditated for years is God answering me. Dear precious angel Sonia, good girl, I love you. I see you. You're beautiful. So let's take a few moments, and you can either, I'll read it again. Does anybody want me to read it again? Raise your hand. Or you can write, Dear God, dear precious angel. Those who still suffer. If we neglect those who are still sick, ourselves or others, there is danger to our own lives and sanity. 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, page 151. It's smeared there. I'll read it again. If we neglect those who are still sick, there is danger to our own lives and sanity. I know the torment of drinking compulsively. To quiet my nerves and my fears, I also know the pain of white-knuckled sobriety. Today I do not forget the unknown person who suffers quietly, withdrawn and hiding in a desperate relief of drinking. I ask my higher power to give me his guidance and the courage to be willing to be his instrument to carry within me compassion and unselfish actions. Let the group continue to give me the strength to do with others what I cannot do alone.
And the paper, baby. Okay.
Dear God, I love Sonia. She's a great speaker. No, Dear God, whatever you want to write. And then, you know, have the Dear God thing. The thing is, Dear God used to be a paragraph or a page planning everyone's death. And then Dear Sonia was like two lines. So my goal was to get the dumping a sentence or two and get the love. Get the love to be a book. We have about a minute left, so you continue this after the workshop. I'm getting the wrap-up. So go ahead and finish up, and then I want a volunteer who'd like to read their writing, so start thinking about that. Eddie, would you like to read? Okay. Anybody else like to read? Come on up. you can approach me after the meeting if you have any questions on how to do this writing. But in lieu of time, we're going to have one person share their writing. Yeah, if you could come to the mic, and then we'll have you sign the release.
Did everyone see the picture?
Can you believe that? First three steps in a nutshell. I heard this at a convention. I can't, God can't, I just have to freaking let him. You heard that one? I can't, God can, I just have to let him.
Hi, I'm Tisa. I've been in program 6 years. I'm Teresa M. I go to the Long Beach, Buena Park meetings, and Los Alamitos. I've been in 6 years and 8 months. I've lost 214 pounds. Ooh. I was way high in the fours when I started this program. And dear God, the pain of being overweight most of my life, I have suffered very, very much with people's remarks, including my own family. And even when I go into restaurants, they didn't want to wait on me one time. But when I came to this program and started working the tools, I'm telling you, I got over a lot of it. People are going to talk no matter what. I couldn't finish writing what I wanted to write. They're going to talk no matter what. If they think you need to lose more, if they don't like the way you talk. But I was a person that always got hurt for every little thing.
So what is your name?
Teresa.
Teresa. So let's have you talk, dear Teresa. Let's have you talk nicely to yourself.
Dear Teresa, I thank God each day that I came to this program because I was tired of being, going for shots and pills in another diet place. I can't tell you how many I've gone to. I have so many that you have no idea. But the only place I find solace, and I'm so happy that I got to go to my first convention, and let me tell you, if this wasn't God, it was my birthday 2 days ago, and two people didn't come. So they gave me, and I couldn't afford this year, Uncle Sam was not good to us, to my husband and I, and they gave me theirs. So we could only come today.
Thank you, Teresa.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, Teresa. I want to get your phone number. So do you guys have that? Dear God, dear Teresa. And that's the thing, is to get that dear precious angel, good warrior, whatever you guys say to yourself, good boys. You know what I mean. I mean, anyway, I don't know. Do guys call themselves precious angels? I don't know. No? Okay. Dear dude, you're awesome. I don't know how God talks to the guys. But, you know, the goal is to get that dear Sonia letter bigger and bigger, because that's how I meditate. Thank you for letting me share.
Never mind.
Tell you later.
Hi. My name is Judy S. from New Mexico. I will be speaking on meetings. I joined CHAL April 27, 2007 and have a committed absence of October 7, 2007. I have lost most of my weight just before coming to CHAL. I am maintaining a 35-pound weight loss. I sponsor on all levels. I am an intergroup rep and co-lead the Promises meetings. Judy? Is Judy here again? Or did Judy leave me again? Judy, yes. No, she
Must have left. Okay. New Mexico, yeah. She was here because she gave me the bio. All right. My last speaker is Helen R. Is Helen here? Alright, I'm going to do her bio in the meantime. Only Californians are here, I guess. I came into OA in 1991. That's part of California. After having been in treatment for PTSD for severe abuse as a child until I was 16 when we moved to New Mexico. My first sponsor gave me my first assignment to write a gratitude list every day. A great way to start abstaining from negative thinking. My plan was 3 meals a day, nothing in between, and to abstain from all binge foods. I did okay in OA, lost 50 pounds. But I am still eating sugar in the form of honey and real maple syrup. I was also eating flour still. Until I became abstaining from sugar and flour in Seahaw, maintaining a 50-pound weight loss since 2003 when I came into Seahaw. I only lost 3 pounds in Seahaw, so it's not the physical recovery I needed. I needed the serenity of not eating between meals. Heard about Seahaw from 3 sponsorees who left OA for Seahaw. Came into Seahaw in October 2003. Could not be back-to-back absence until October 2007. Not having judgment of self and others and a clarity of mind that abstinence from sugar and flour gave me spoke louder to me than any other weight plan I have. It's not a weight plan. It's not a food plan. It's not a diet. It's a way of life. Learning how to give back OA and having done service here, I learned that serving and giving back strengthens my abstinence. I wanted to give what has been given to me. I wanted to...
We got them?
Yeah. All right, Miss Judy, you're up first. Speaking on meetings.
Judy.
I finished your introduction, everybody. Whatever you wrote here.
Well, isn't this a surprise? Wonderful. Okay. I am so sorry. I kept saying I thought I was supposed to speak on meetings, and I was pretty confused. Okay, so my experience with meetings have been on the bridge in Seahaw. I came from Oahu in Denver. I had 6 years of abstinence. Went to meetings. We didn't have 3 meetings a week, but I went regularly, and it meant a lot to me. And then I moved away, moved to New Mexico. And I moved to be part of a 12-step spiritual community. And I decided that I could do this food thing with any 12 steps. And I found out differently. It just didn't work. As a matter of fact, the people who were the so-called gurus, which later we ended up escaping from that community, they used sugar, you know, because instead of alcohol. And so they thought I was anal. And then at some point I decided that, gosh, if they could have a piece of that, you know, they're in 12 steps, they're in recovery, I could too. And it caught up with me. And I had a few binges, and then I would get, you know, kind of straightened out a little bit again. And then after we left there, It was kind of like leaving family and going away to college, except that I was in my 60s. So, I was on my own again then. I mean, we lived in a tent. They had a house. They had the refrigerator, and they did all the cooking. We bought the food together. And so it was kind of like a form of home in the sense that somebody else was kind of in charge of the food. We had to pay our share. But so anyway, when I left there, just gradually, I started having a few more slips. And then I started being part of this community, which was only 17 miles from the other commune, I call it now. I started to get involved with a library, a volunteer library. It was just fabulous. And we needed a fundraiser. And guess what I knew how to do? I knew how to bake. And so we had a bake sale, and we had just record success. And the first year, if you can imagine, I baked enough stuff for the bake sale. I mean, every room was full of everything I ever made for my kids, and all my self-esteem was displayed in every room. And I made pre-sales, and I was the star. And I really did pretty good the first year. And then the second year, a few more things broke as I took them out of the oven and began tasting them. Well, come December of 2005, I took what was left over to my daughters, thinking I'd get rid of it, and I did, but it wasn't with my daughter or her family. And they had one of these homes that was pretty open, so you couldn't hide very well. And so my favorite way of eating was to face the counter and, just sort of open the tin of whatever. And if I heard anybody coming, then you put it down. And I just have to tell you this. This is a food item, but it's not real food. I made a popcorn sleigh with green, the goo that holds it together. I ate that thing in globs. I mean, it was starting to disintegrate, and I'm taking globs of it. And my granddaughter walked in, and I'm like, and she says, "Grandma Judy, I thought you didn't eat sugar." I don't. Yeah. And I went home and I cried. And then I finally decided maybe I should weigh myself because I had so many pair of jeans I just couldn't zip up anymore. And I just didn't get it. And I was shocked and I had gained all my weight back. Lo and behold, the phone rang and it was my old sponsor. She said she'd been having some trouble too. So I went back to my food plan, tried to find something on the internet. Now, we live in a town of 350 people, and so there aren't any meetings. And even if when there were, they died quickly because everybody knows everybody's car, and what was your car doing there at her house on a regular basis? What are you doing there? So anonymity is just, it's crazy. You can go to the bar and get drunk, but don't you dare go to the church for a meeting because, so there are no meetings. And so I lost my weight, and about 6 months into my newfound abstinence, I never went back to sugar. I didn't know about flour. I didn't know that part. And so then I ended up just eating a little between meals. I was still making the homemade bread. I was trying to limit it. And then I got a phone call from my old sponsor. And she said, guess what I just found? I just found Seahaw. I said, what's that? And she said, well, it's this group that is kind of like OA How, but they have bridge meetings, and you can get support, but you have to give up bread. So here I am with a hot loaf of bread that I kept saying, I got to put this in the freezer, one more slice. I got to put this in the freezer. And that she called while I was doing that. So I was caught with my pants down, and I said, oh, maybe I do have a problem with bread and flour. And so we drove 12 hours to Denver, and I went to my first CHAL meeting, got a sponsor, and then came home, got the numbers to call, and I've been going to meetings ever since. I had one slip. That was April of 2007. I had one slip in October over a piece of fruit, which was, I guess today I wouldn't call it a slip, but it was a slip in that I was crazy. I was like, oh, I cut the bruise out of that piece, and so then I didn't get it all, and so I could have some of this, and it was just like, I'm going nuts. So I called my sponsor, and I said, I had a slip. I thought I'd die, and I didn't die, and I learned back-to-back isn't everything, and some humility, and some compassion, and all of those things. And today I go to my three meetings a week, and then I try to catch as many as I can. And I could not ever do it without meetings. Without the meetings and the support and the love and of course, the structure and all the other things that we do. But leading meetings, I've done that. I've led some workshops. I've been an intergroup rep. I sponsor, and I got people who love me and people who understand what I, even though I am not a 100-pounder, I'm like 35 to 40 pounds. At one point I was 70, but mostly it's 35 to 40. And I'm home. That's one more minute? Oh, my gosh. The meetings that I go to are my time is mountain time. I'm New Mexico. I go to my 5 o'clock promises meeting. I go to the Tuesday night speaker meeting. I go to the Thursday morning, which is now the 8 o'clock my time, and it's a relapse prevention meeting. And if you haven't heard that format, it's just a really beautiful format. And I also try to catch the Wednesday 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which is also relapse prevention. And then I go to as many of the other ones I can, and it's saved my life. Thank you very much.
Oh, by the way, this is being recorded onto a CD, is what I've been told, and it might be available eventually. All right, young lady, you're up.
I did.
You weren't here for the bio.
I'm Helen. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Helen.
Well, I want to talk about the foam bridge and how it strengthened my life and how it made my program and how I do service and encourage people to do service on the foam bridge. When I first started foam bridge meetings, it was what eventually got me to have back-to-back abstinence. Before that, I couldn't do it because I self-sabotaged, And so I'd get up to a year, and then something would happen. You know, I'd go someplace, and, you know, the dressing would have sugar in it, and I would eat it anyway, you know. And it, you know, I mean, I never went out and binged on all those things that I left behind. Thank you, higher power. But I slipped on things that were legal, so to speak, in our program. So, and my sponsor, I had been traveling for my job. I was commuting 3.5 hours every Monday, and I would work an 8-hour day after I got there, and then I would work a 10-hour day the next day, and then 2 11-hour days, and then on Fridays I had off, and I would come home. Well, you know, when I get home and it's time for a meeting, the last thing I wanted to do was go across town for a meeting, but I did because I was only making one meeting a week, and my sponsor said, you ought to try those phone bridge meetings, but at the school where I was living, they had given me, I didn't have a big cell phone plan. So they had given me the long distance, and I was afraid that they would look on there and say, what is she doing on the phone for an hour every morning at 5 o'clock? And so I didn't let myself do that. It was just an excuse. I didn't join the phone bridge. I didn't go on a phone bridge meeting also because I had been kicked off of one in the other program from crosstalking, and I wasn't even sure what crosstalk was. And so I was so afraid to go on there because I was going to get kicked off for crosstalking, and I didn't even know what it was. And so then, and that became an excuse. So then I moved to where I live now, which is in a little town outside of Albuquerque, and on this beautiful property that looks like the Garden of Eden, and it is so beautiful, and the little guest house. And I just one night, you know, I thought, I'm just going to dial into that meeting and see what happens. So I dialed in, and I was shaking, and my hands were sweating. My pits were sweating. I was really scared, and I was all there. I was at my house by myself. And so I was really scared. And so when the How It Works started to be read, I just wept. I just started weeping because I was home. I was just like 15, 16 years ago, or however many it was, when I came from the other program to see how it was just like the first time I'd ever been in a 12-step program. And I felt so much a part of, but I was afraid of lots of things. I was afraid of crosstalking, and I was also afraid of the buttons, you know, how am I going to get it, you know, and I didn't want to feel stupid or silly. And so anyway, that's what kept me. So now it's like I can't stay away from those meetings. And so, and the first time the first time I did service was I did spiritual timekeeper. I didn't know what spiritual timekeeper was. But I had gone on to a lot of meetings, and they needed a timekeeper. So I got my little clock, and I was a timekeeper. And that was, you know, and I got to tell people when to stop talking. That was lots of fun. So then somebody talked to me. Well, you should lead a meeting. Oh, but I'm too scared. And so then I was talking to somebody. Will you be a co-leader with me? Sure, I can be a co-leader. And she said, I'll send you the stuff. So it was a 5 a.m. Sunday big book meeting. So I got the papers out. I had them all stretched across my table. I got up way early. You know, I was so afraid that I would go on wrong, that I would mass mute everybody and nobody would be able to talk. And, I, you know, all those things. And so, they, you know, people there were helpful. It was somebody from California. She said, I'll help you. I'll be there with you. And so I did it, and I jumped through that fear. And today, I mean, my program is so strong, and what it did, it gave me, it just kept me in gratitude. What the gratitude does is it keeps me, of course, away from negativity. It keeps me away from negativity, makes my program stronger, and then my life is happier and more free. And then it's giving back. And so I would encourage anybody who has a little bit of fear to talk with somebody, to talk to me about leading a phone bridge meeting. On Mondays I lead the 5 a.m. phone bridge meeting on Came to Believe. And I'll tell you, sometimes it's so beautiful on that, and there's long periods of time when people don't talk, and it's because whatever we've read is, how could anybody improve on it? And higher power is there. People get on there and share from their hearts. The gratitude is like, you can reach out and touch it. It is so beautiful, and it just keeps my program, and I keep wanting to give back. So I would encourage you to encourage your sponsees, and I encourage you to do that yourself, to give your program a boost. And you only have to have 30 days, and it's, call me, I'll walk through it with you. In fact, I need a co-leader for that meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
Ready to go?
No. Okay, I just have to say something to these two wonderful women. I was a delegate. Thank you. I forgot what I was yesterday. It was so long ago. And they, when we needed anything copied, they were here. And thank you to both of you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Okay, I'd like to close the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Thank you.